the more it needs to be read out loud. And so I want to do that tonight because this is a pivotal message as far as the life of Saul and to see exactly where his heart is, and that we might understand tonight that, you know, sometimes we obey, but we don't obey completely. And the truth is incomplete obedience is actually disobedience. To make excuse for it, to try to talk yourself through it, to think it's okay to do your own thing. I'll tell you, this is a perfect example tonight. This story is you can do what you want to do, but you cannot, you will not be able to override the consequences of what happens. So when you decide, well, I think I know better than God, or I'll do what my own thing, I'm just going to do that, that's rebellion. And stubbornness and rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, the text is going to tell us. And because of that, there's going to be a rejection. It always starts in the heart. When the heart is not right, then everything else in our life will not be correct. So, this is the story that we've already looked at as far as the first part. God has made this declaration against the Amalekites, and I don't want to go back, but the Amalekites, many, many years ago when the children of Israel had come into the land, they were a wicked people. They were terrorists. They came up from the backside. And those that were lame and crippled and slow, they did great damage. And God said, there will be judgment. Judgment will come one day. And so God chooses the first king of Israel to go to the Amalekites. We know that the Kenites were to be separated. They said separate them because we're going to kill the Amalekites. And so God made it very clear, don't leave anything. Don't leave anything. Destroy it all. Now, that's pretty clear, right? I mean, God's word is pretty clear on what it says. Now we pick up the story in verse number 10 because we're going to find out. Well, if you go back to verse 9, there's the word. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Now that is a direct disobedience to what God's Word says. So now we pick up the story from last week in verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Now, when God told that to Samuel, the Bible says it grieved Samuel and he cried unto the Lord all night. I'm telling you, we need a little bit more of that type of behavior from ourselves. Being grieved by sin, grieved about the sin of others, grieved about disobedience. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Just going on with business like everything is okay. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness. So we can say right here, liar, liar, pants on fire. He did not do that. And then so Samuel goes, okay, if you have done what God said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, well, they brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Oh, you know, like to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God. And the rest we utterly destroyed. Okay, so we just kept the best, you know, because we wanted to have sacrifice for God. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And in his arrogance, I believe it's arrogance, he said, okay, say on. What did God say? I did what he said. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Now I'm sorry, but I can't help but acting this out. I mean, because what an idiot. Sorry, because I've been an idiot too, and so have you. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, it's the people's fault. It's not my fault, it's the people's fault. It's the preacher's fault. It's always somebody's fault. It's my sister's fault. It's my wife's fault, Lord. It's the woman that thou gavest me. Isn't that what Adam said? But it was the people that took the spoil. Who's the leader? Who's the king? Who's the leader? Who's the one that is supposed to lead this party? But the people took the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. It's the people's fault. They were the ones that said, let's keep the best, so that we can sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. Here it is, look at this. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Can I just say this right now? Flee idolatry. Idolatry is fellowship with the devil. Have we heard that somewhere? Absolutely. Isn't it amazing how the intersection of the Old Testament and New Testament are? And so some people think, well, Pastor, he does that. No, I don't have that kind of brain power. All I have brain power to do is study and preach the next verse. And God help me in that. But I'm telling you, is this not evidence of the example of what we've read in the text of 1 Corinthians the last several weeks? And he says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. So the next time that you give a little bit of try to brag about your stubbornness, or you brag about your rebellion, then you understand something. It's like you are sacrificing to devils. And then he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now everybody know why I didn't have you stand up tonight? And Saul said unto Samuel, finally, listen, you get a guy in a corner, you finally show him all the evidence, you do everything you can, and finally he says, I have sinned. You know what the problem with Saul saying this? Even though he says he sinned, there's still no repentance. And so he says, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. But you see, I have an excuse. I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. It's like preachers and churches who are not willing to preach the whole counsel of God because they're afraid what people will say or think. Listen, that is wickedness. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. You can love people, but still preach the word and tell them the truth. And so we see that Saul was a people pleaser, with no doubt about it. Verse 25 goes on to say, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned about to go away, he, which was Saul, laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. So here you have Saul falling down at the feet of Samuel and grabbing a hold of his garment to the place where it tears, it rents. And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Verse 27 says, "And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee." So there he is. He's standing there. His garment has been ripped. There's Saul down on the ground. He looks down and says, basically, "Just as you tore my garment, just as you rent my garment, so that shall the kingdom be rent unto thee. And thou hast given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." Now you're going to get a picture of why Saul's going to hate David so much. "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now." Look at it. Here it is again. He's concerned about his status before the people. He is not concerned about his status before God. He's concerned about his status before the people. And so he goes on to say, "Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me anyway. Honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God." So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, "Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." This was not the original job of Saul to do. To Samuel, this was Saul's job. Remember how we've talked about boundaries, doing what you're supposed to do? The king of Israel was supposed to do this. But Agag came to him delicately, and Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Well, you don't know. This scene should be right next to the scene of David cutting off the head of Goliath downstairs. This should be there also. This should be painted down there, because this is awesome. "As the sword," and Samuel said to Agag, this king of the Amalekites, "as thy sword hath made women childless," and it had, they were terrorists, "so shall thy mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Isn't that awesome? Just whacked him up. Took that sword and started whacking him. And then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. This is a sad verse right here, verse 35. "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Is that not a sad, sad commentary and a sad story? Well, I want to say tonight, after reading this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand there's several things I want to look at, but the main thing is this: disobedience is sometimes done with greater passion than obedience. The passion of disobedience that Saul shows should be an example and ensample, as the New Testament would say to us. If you see the results of what takes place with Saul after this major, major event of disobedience and not dealing with the Amalekites in the way God said that he should, you're going to see Saul from this point forward. There's a lot of things we could look at. Number one, we could look at the prophet will never come to him again. Number two, we could look at the idea that God has rent the kingdom from him. Number three, we could look at the idea that God said, "I'm looking for a man after God's own heart." Now, what does that mean? Well, that implies that the life of Saul, or the heart of Saul, was not turned toward God. You're going to see an evil spirit come upon Saul. You're going to see the hatred that Saul will have towards David, even when they begin to make a declaration that, oh yeah, Saul's killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. Now that should, anybody that does something better than you should cause rejoicement, and if it's for the glory of God and if it's for God's honor, not to be jealous. We shouldn't be jealous when somebody is serving God and doing exploits for God, but yet Saul was. He was jealous. He was hateful. He had a bad spirit. His heart was not right with God. He was disobedient. And we could actually say that his passion for disobedience was much greater than enthusiasm and zeal that people should have for the things of God. I just happen to believe we should be excited about the things of God. I believe that when we come to the house of God, we should have a good time. I didn't say act ignorant, but I think that we should be glad we're in the house of God. We should be glad when God deals with us in some way. If God convicts us, we shouldn't be angry about it. We shouldn't be disgusted about it. We should just do what God says. And God considers obedience very important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know why God says that in one of the Ten Commandments? Because He knows this. You can never turn your heart toward God if you don't turn your heart toward obeying your parents. If you can't obey your parents when you're a child, how is it that later on when God begins to move in your life and wants you to do things that you'll be able to do? You can't. You're not going to be able to. And the dedication that men have for evil things, I'm just telling you, sometimes shames the people of God for their lesser dedication for the things of God. Saul has rebelled against God, and the man of God, Samuel, becomes very concerned and he becomes very grieved. And it grieved Samuel because what Saul had done, it grieved Samuel to the point that he was willing to cry and to pray and to beg God all night. When's the last time we did anything like that for our country, for people that have disobeyed, for somebody that's in a great strait, somebody that has fallen into sin, somebody that has gone away from God, somebody that their heart is nowhere? How about our own self? When's the last time we prayed like that? Oh, God, make my heart right. God, help this bitterness and this hatred or whatever it might be, it is in my heart. All of those things are going to be found in the life of Saul because of his disobedience, because of his concerned about what people think, not be concerned about what God thinks. You know that the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that if you do things right, God will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. But you have to turn your heart toward God. You could say this was the last straw. That's the best way that I have to describe what has taken place here. And so now we know that there's a little boy out on the hillside of Bethlehem watching sheep. And he's being obedient to his father, and he's obeying his father, and his father's giving him this instruction. David, I want you to take care of the sheep. I realize that you're the youngest of my sons, but this is a great responsibility, and I want you to go out there. And David takes the responsibility of being a shepherd serious. He's out there practicing with that sling. He's learning how to use it. He is out there in the nighttime. He's looking up in the sky. He's talking to God. How do you think all them psalms come about? Yeah, David would be in trouble because of the wickedness of Saul. David would be on the run because of the hatred of Saul. David would be on the run. And listen, it all started, listen to me, when he didn't obey God completely. When he obeyed Him partially and then tried to make excuse. So let me just tell you a couple of things. First of all, Saul had no sincerity. He only had insincerity, because in our text, as I've read and commented as we went, verse number 8, he takes Agag alive. He didn't destroy the people with a sword. He spared Agag, verse number 9. This is disobedience. He kept the best of the oxen and the fatling and the lambs. He saw that that was good. That which was bad, he destroyed. And then the Bible says, when the word of God came to Samuel, Samuel goes and meets Saul. And verse 13, here's insincerity number one. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I did what God said. That's insincerity. That is not true. I'm telling you, we live in a nation right now. We live in a culture that people turn on the TV and they listen to the news, and there is more lies that come out of that tube. I'm listening and go, I know that ain't true. I know that's not true. And they think that if they say it long enough and loud enough and continue, that at some point people will start believing it. And they do. So is that what Saul's doing? If he says it long enough, loud enough to Samuel that I obeyed the voice of God, I did what God said. No, you didn't, jackleg. You did not. You did not do what God said. God said, utterly destroy the Amalekites. Sin needs to be confessed. Sin needs to be dealt with. He tries to blame others. He denies that he did anything wrong. And then God says, I repent. In verse number 11, it repenteth me that I set up Saul to be king. When man repents, now I want you to think about this. When man repents, it means he's changing his attitude about his sin. And repentance is necessary for salvation. Repentance is not a work, it's a change of mind. It's going in one direction and saying, oh, my sin has offended God. I need to repent, and by faith, I need to trust God. Repentance is still in the Bible, but it's not preached very much. It's the big R word. When man repents, it means he's changing his attitude about his sin. When God repents, it means he's changing his attitude about man. Now, I know he's God, but God said, now look at Saul, I'm going to set him up as king. Then God said, I changed my mind. I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. Why? Disobedience. Disobedience. It is a language to get us to understand that because Saul is lying and covering up his sin, so his relationship with God is out of order. Listen to me. If you lie and you do and you sin and you lie and you don't and cover all this stuff up, you are out of order with God. You need to change your mind about your sin. And you need to repent. Because you need to be careful that God don't change His attitude about you and disqualifies you or puts you on a shelf. Remember what Saul? Listen, I have to go back to the Apostle Paul. He said that I keep my body under subjection, lest that by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. I declare to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that the one thing the Apostle Paul was scared of, that God would take him and put him on a shelf, just like we're reading here. This is God putting Saul, making him a castaway. Samuel is grieved over Saul's sin. Now, I'm going to just be personal. Have you ever been so close to someone, or as a pastor giving advice, counsel, teaching what's right, what they must do, what the Bible says? I've often said this. I am not a counselor. I'm a preacher. And I preach the Word of God best that I possibly can. But there's people come to me and we'll have counsel, we'll have advice, here's what the Bible says, let me help you, try to do it. And then, to walk out, or here's the greatest of all marriage counseling, when you have both parties sitting before you, you have the man and the wife, and basically, in about 5 minutes, I've been doing this for 30 years, sometimes you realize this man wants me to agree with him, and this woman wants me to agree with her. And that's not counseling. It's, well, what does the Bible say? So you give people counsel best you can, and then they go out and do the very opposite or do their own thing. If Samuel was giving advice to Saul, this is what it'd be. Saul, God has blessed you. He's taken you out of the lowest of the tribes, and that's Benjamin. He's set you in a place. He's made you to be king. I've anointed you to be king. Now, let me give you some instructions. Go and destroy the Amalekites. See, because God has a reason for the destruction of the Amalekites. He wants you to understand. He remembers what they did. God knows what history is. God knows what they did. And He said, now it is your responsibility to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Kill Agag. Kill everything. I mean, wipe them out completely. Now, folks, that's pretty simple. And that was the advice and the counsel and the word, thus saith the Lord, that God, through Samuel, gave to Saul. And Saul went away and did his own thing. And so now we have grieving, concerned. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. If the preacher gets upset over sin and preaches the Bible, it's amazing that somebody will say, well, you know, preacher, you just need more love, not when it comes to sin. He was so grieved, Samuel was. He cried unto the Lord all night. And once the prayer is over, he confronts Samuel head on. And here we see the great insincerity, verse 13. And Saul came to Samuel, and Saul said, oh, blessed be. How you doing there, brother? How's everything going? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I hate religious talk. You know how many times I've been out, I'll be playing golf, and they'll put me with somebody. I remember one time, me and Brother Hightower, Brother Hal Hightower, we were playing golf together, and they put us with two other guys, foursome, and we've been playing about two, three holes, and man, these guys, they were all over the place, language, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we get on the fourth tee, and we're standing there, and there's people out in the fairway, so we're kind of waiting, and I'm just kind of standing there. I'm not a very patient man when it comes to this. I'm like, you know, move along, let's go. We've already played hole number three. You should have already be past hole number four. And the guy turns and says, so what do you guys do? And we go, we're Baptist preachers. Well, they almost passed out right on the ground. Because of the way they had been acting and talking. And for the next three holes, they wanted to tell us how spiritual they were. It was hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious. But that's exactly what's going on here. Here you have Samuel. I'm sorry, I apologize. Here you have Saul, totally out of bounds with God. And he's like, blessed be the name of the Lord. I did what God said. And Samuel goes, oh, really? Well, then what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear in the voice? You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a smoker versus smoke cigarettes trying to tell a non-smoker that they don't smoke cigarettes. Let me just give you a piece of advice. You can smell smoke on a person that smokes like 20 miles away. I mean, I've had people go, whoo! Oh yeah, I used to smoke cigarettes. I think you still do. No. I don't smoke cigarettes. That's exactly what we're reading right here. God repents that He made King Saul. Sin needs to be confessed. Insincerity. F.B. Meyer said this: "Blessed be thou of the Lord at this moment" sounds pretty ugly. Oh, F.B. Meyer. Some of these guys got away with words. Trying to sound religious and spiritual is not the answer. Just obey God. Verse 13, some people might call a slight exaggeration. God says, don't bear false witness. Those who are quick to tell you how spiritual they are and all the exploits they've done for God is usually a sign they ain't very spiritual at all. The sheep are bleating. The oxen are lowing. The clothes smell like smoke. The food is... Oh, I was giving you another illustration. Little boy. It's like a little boy who is eating chocolate cake and says, I didn't eat the chocolate cake, but he's got icing all around him. I love kids, you know what I'm saying? Hey, did you eat that ding-dong? No, it's chocolate all over there. No, I didn't eat that ding-dong. The sheep are bleating, the oxen are lowing, the clothes smell like smoke, the food is on your mouth, the memory will forget, the alibi and other stuff happens because you're lying to yourself, but you're also lying to God. Well, I got an alibi. I got an excuse. Well, let me try lie number two. Lie number one didn't work. Lie number two, we saved the best for God. You see, we're looking out for God. And Samuel's going to say, you don't need to look out for God. In fact, to obey is better than sacrifice. Folks, we need to quit excusing the sin, start confessing our sin. And somebody goes, well, you know, I confess my sin every day. I have to confess mine about every hour. So you're probably more spiritual than me. Well, it's that wife you gave me, Lord. You know, if you hadn't given me that wife. Well, it's those people you want. It's those people you want me to lead. I mean, do you see how they are? No, I don't really. I just see disobedience. So what does Samuel say? In verse number 16, Samuel says to Saul, well, I'm going to have to tell you what God's told me. And he said, okay, tell me. And then he begins to tell the story about how that he was little. He made him head over Israel. The Lord sent thee on a journey. He told you what to do. And basically, he didn't do it. So Samuel basically says, why don't you just be quiet and let you know that God already knows what you've done. The essence of Saul's disobedience was that he disobeyed God's word. Look at verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. The fundamental character of every sin is this. The fundamental character of every sin is this. God's word is the authority. And when we disobey the authority, we disobey God. You know, a lot of people have trouble with authority. They have the authority. They have a lot of trouble with authority. Now, God puts authorities in our life for a specific reason. And the ultimate authority is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the absolute authority. Disregard it, disobey it. And by the way, so let me just give you a cultural thing. Today, men don't want to obey God's word. You know what they do? So they attack it. They try to discredit it. And they only do this because they want to soothe their conscience. Listen, you need to listen to the lessons that we're going to have from the Ten Commandments. Those are not the Ten Suggestions. Those are the moral attributes of God. How to live in relationship to God, how to live in relationship to each other. Verse number 19, let me do this. This gives you another insight. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 19 gives us an insight. When it says, didst fly upon the spoil, means he was very eager to do the very opposite of what God had said. God showed Samuel that Saul did evil. Verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, I got to tell you, Samuel, it's those people. Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter what the people say. It's what God says. How can you pass off disobedient as being obedient? Look at verse 20. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone in the way which the Lord sent me. And then he says, oh, and I brought Amalek, Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Okay, listen, let me get this right. So he said in verse 20, y'all make this stuff up. I utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but here's King Agag. Let's see, Agag, he's like the head of the Amalekites. How can people look you right in the eye and lie to you, and you know they're lying, but they try to make you convinced, they try to convince you that they're telling the truth? Usually it's because they've convinced themselves they're telling the truth. And there's no substitutes, zero substitute for obedience. Sacrifice, as great and impressive as they may be to human thinking, will never compensate for lack of obedience. Character is more important than ceremony. Conduct is more important than accomplishments. Purity is more important than position. God must be served with the heart, or it'll be hypocritical all the way around. How many of us would think about consulting a witch? How many of God's people would actually go to the horoscope and read what they should do for that day? How many of us would go and have a palm reader? This is all wicked. It's amazing to me that people involve themselves in witchcraft or read witchcraft books or whatever it might be But yet the Bible says if you disobey God, it's just like going to a witch for advice. Witchcraft. Don't replace sacrifice for obedience. Hosea said it like this, "For I desired mercy and sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Listen, and listen, they're just like idol worship can come in different ways, so can sacrifice of many things turn into witchcraft. Money, time, sacrifices will never compensate for being just plain obedient to the Word of God. So you know what God says? Here's what God says. I'm going to cancel the blessings that you could have had. Man, I don't know about you. I'd rather be blessed by God than cursed by God. I'd rather be blessed by God than to be put on a shelf. Saul, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9, God does not. I never did like to beat my children, for lack of a better, spank them. I never enjoyed that. You know what? God is my Heavenly Father. And He's had to take out the whooping stick a few times on me. And neither one of us liked it. You know what God wants? He wants, like a father to a child, He wants to bless them. The devil wants to destroy us. God wants to bless us. But if you continue to disobey, it will eventually cost more than you thought you would ever have to pay. And this is a story, as I've already mentioned over and over. You can choose to do what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences. Saul keeps telling Samuel, "You've sinned. There's no sincerity. You're never really confessed." Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote Abraham Lincoln, "Reputation and character can be compared to a tree." He said, "Character is the tree and reputation is the shadow cast by the tree." What he is saying is your character will determine your reputation. D.L. Moody said, "Character is what a person is in the dark when nobody else is watching. Reputation is what people think we are. Character is what God knows we are. God knows our heart." Saul was absolutely consumed with what people thought. I've met so many people like that. It makes me shake my head. It makes me want to say, "Why don't you go read about Saul?" People will do they'll do almost anything to get the approval of other people and never consider, well, what does God say? If you start living to please people, you're going to be in trouble. But if you live your life to please God, you can receive His blessings. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now, the bottom line is this, and I'm going to be done. Do you know why the Lord rejected Saul, even though he made this confession to Samuel? God knew his heart. And let me give you a little secret. God knows your heart. At the great white throne judgment, when the lost stand before God, I believe this. This is my own belief. I don't know that I've ever read this, but I believe that when people are standing before the great white throne, they're going to be sorry for their sins. They're going to be very sorry for their sins. And I think at that moment, they'll want to be saved. Because that's, you look at Samuel. I mean, Saul falls down. "Oh, please, give me another chance." Listen, your heart has never been turned back toward God. You've never been saved. You've never repented. But it'll be on that day at the great white throne judgment that people would be sorry for their sins. But you know what it'll be? It'll be too late. If you don't obey God, the sin you choose to disobey will always come back to bite you. God knows your heart. And if it's not right, guess what? You can repent. Come to God and get right, and God will be pleased and can bless. But he cannot bless witchcraft. He cannot bless rebellion. He cannot bless stubbornness. He cannot bless iniquity. He cannot bless idolatry. But he can bless obedience. And he does every time. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, a turning point in the life of Samuel could be a story that's a turning point in many people's lives as we look at the idea of obedience versus sacrifice. Obedience versus rebellion. Obedience versus stubbornness. Obedience versus witchcraft. Obedience versus being concerned about what other people think. Obedience to God versus idolatry. All those categories, Lord, fall into what we looked at tonight with Saul. And the main thing was his heart never was not turned toward God. And we're going to see a life of bitterness, hate, anger. We're going to see a life of bad spirit, bad testimony, trying to kill David, all kinds of things. Throwing a spear, just hate. I mean, just the hateful attitude he's going to have toward his own son, Jonathan. All because of this story we read tonight where he didn't obey God in the area of the Amalekites. God help us tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 451, I think we should sing all of those verses tonight. Those that are going to be baptized, they can make their way to the back. But let's sing a verse or two tonight. And you want to do business with God, hey, I'm pretty sure that when we don't obey God completely, it's disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Let's sing the verse.
When we walk with the Lord.